What was it like to practice of open resting? Yeah, too easy. Am I doing this right? Okay, yeah, good. Probably you are. But it's not easy to sustain, right? Yeah. So did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you felt easeful with it? Okay. She said she liked it. She felt easeful with it. Thank you, Kimmy. That's it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We're just doing some harvesting. Yes, Carolyn.
I meditated for about 25 minutes high up on some rocks looking at a canopy of trees that were lower down. And I was going back and forth between having my eyes closed and open. I was having a hard time settling down because of the mosquitoes. And so I finally just thought, I'm going to sit here for a while with my eyes closed and just settle down. And I totally forgot about the mosquitoes. And then I got lost in a thought, really lost, went down a real rabbit hole, and came back and opened my eyes very slowly and saw this. I didn't see trees. I saw layers and layers of green, different shades of green. And it was just stunning. It was the panorama that Jigme has been describing. It was really beautiful. And it didn't last that long. You know, pretty soon my labeling mind came back and started seeing it more distinctly, so I closed my eyes.
Yeah, so it's not easy to sustain this kind of immediacy. So in the tradition, my teachers used to talk a lot about short sessions many times because it will disintegrate and then you reboot. And either you reboot in a few minutes or you reboot if you're going through all your day, you know, it might be you forget for an hour and then you reboot and become immediate and fresh again for a few minutes and then it will disintegrate. And that's okay, right? Short sessions many times. It's a good way to remember, oh, that's okay. You know.
Blissful snacks.
Blissful snacks, nice.
I'm Susan.
Susan, yeah.
I was sitting with a sky, and something unusual happened to me is when I kind of lost the view, the wind and the sound brought me in. It was like a blanket, and that brought me back up and being present. But the wind and, you know, touching my skin and the sound were very comforting. It was wonderful.
That's great, Susan. Yeah, if we want to be present, it's as simple as just listening to the senses or like getting in touch with what's happening, the wind, the sounds, and suddenly there we are. Yeah. Beautiful. I think there's a book by Jon Kabat-Zinn named Come to Your Senses, and I think it's just like, oh, that captures, that's such a great phrase, a double entendre.
So as I started looking at, being with nature, what I realized was nature is misunderstood because I've been misunderstanding nature because I've been looking at it in bits and pieces. You know, so I looked at a tree, then a pond, and then a fly. And so when I expanded my awareness, I didn't do it, but when my awareness was expanded, everything was integrated as part of one. It was harmonious. And that's when I realized that, wow, I've been misunderstanding nature all along. And then as I was walking, I realized same thing has been happening with, because sometimes I complain that I'm being misunderstood by people, but I realize I've been doing that to everyone myself, because I don't really have, I look at people as like a slice in time, you know, right now, but I don't really have the whole context, the panoramic view of their life, and then I misunderstand them, because human beings are part of nature. Well, another thing was it was a humbling experience, because the panoramic view doesn't have an end. So
yes, it doesn't. Yes,
because every time I soften, I mean, I shouldn't say I soften, but every time my awareness softened, it expanded, and it was able to, the container was able to hold more. So, I mean, I feel like there is no limit to the container expanding.
Yes, that's a beautiful, that's a really profound insight, that there is no edge when we look for the end of awareness. We can't find it. It doesn't have those kinds of boundaries that we can impose. We can impose those boundaries, but actually when we look for them, it doesn't happen. We can't find. So yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Mm.
Yeah. The boundless. Mm.
So, going back to our tree meditation, if I can. Okay. I was just sitting there thinking about the whole forest as one thing, as one whole living creature. And thinking, what do the trees think, as strange as that sounds? But, and yes, we are having more of an impact on the world than any other species, but I think they're on to us. I think they know, you know, these beings are so much older than we are, that they look at us like we're just silly little children that are breaking everything. So that's what I got from the trees. Also, there was a squirrel who was really sick of our bullshit that was yelling at us. I don't know if anybody heard that. And maybe a couple owls that were really cool. Did anybody hear the owls?
We heard the owls.
Owls.
Yeah.
Did you hear them?
They were talking to each other.
Yes, yes.
Well, out there they were, right?
Yes,
yeah.
They too. You could hear them talking.
It was really cool.
Yes, that was an amazing moment.
I was called by the garden. Love gardening. So I went out there, went behind the garden and laid down in the grass and tried sky gazing. And I tried for about 30 minutes, expecting expecting. And then I had this sensation that I was falling upwards. That's all I got for the sky gazing, falling upwards. It didn't last. The clouds closed and then it was gone. But then I moved into the woods behind the garden and found a great rock to sit on. And there, I got a message. I also got a symphony of either birds or chipmunks that sort of sounded like African drums. It was very interesting, and then one started right behind me, almost sounding like it was on my shoulder. And I didn't want to scare it away, so I did the slow panoramic. I couldn't find them. But it was beautiful. I felt like they included me in their orchestra. And the message was, everything is connected, and everything has its part to play.
Thank you. So beautiful. Right? We're so connected. Mm-hmm. So connected. And when we get out there, suddenly we belong. There's something about these spaces. When we get there, we realize, oh, I am a part of this. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that awareness is what's going to save us. If something's going to save us in this day, it's going to be that sense that it's not the mother and me, it's the mother me, and to hurt her is to hurt myself. You know, that's that awareness is has potential. Right.
Hmm. Yeah. It took me a while to settle in. I found my spot. That was, you know, it took a little while to do that too. And when I found my spot, I sat on a rock and I started to sort of scan, like I do sometimes in walking meditation. And I wasn't walking, I was sitting. So I noticed my scanning was sort of like, it was fairly fast, but it had a kind of a, almost like a head, you know, segmenting and scanning and going round, you know. And I thought, what's the rush? Slow down, you know, and there doesn't have to be a rhythm. It can be any rhythm. So I started trying that, and I was surprised that it didn't take long doing that, and it just started to feel natural. And I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, here I am. And different things just started to get revealed to me. I was just seeing more. The awareness was expanding, I guess. And the more I was there. And then I let myself look up, look down. And when I look down, there's this one single red berry right between my legs. And I'm like, wow, you know. And then I sort of turn to the right and there's a fly on a leaf. And there's water droplets on the leaf, and the fly is sitting there next to a water droplet. And then it started to crawl along the leaf towards me and hopped onto another leaf and came even closer. And it was like within inches of me. And I'm just watching it. And I don't know if it was watching me, but here we were. And so I had about a minute or so communing with a fly, and then, you know, I just moved my gaze and took in more stuff. And then I think the other thing that I got to was interconnectedness. Interconnectedness and interdependence. I got this sense that everything depended on everything else for its survival. But there was almost like a little bit of a harshness to it too, which is part of that reality, because things are consumed by other things, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. And I got really good at doing the no labels thing, because one of my early meditation practices was labeling, you know, like tree, you know, flower, you know. And I just, you know, so I really broke that habit, which was great, because I didn't need to label anything. I just, in fact, labeling separated, so it was better to just see everything rather than see any one thing. Mm. And the feeling inside was, it was a couple of things, I guess. It was awe, but at the same time, mystery. So there's a mystery to it. And the big question that came, and it's a question that I don't know whether anyone can answer, but it's, why do we human beings have free will and mind? Like, we're the only ones that can mess this up. So why do we get that, you know? Is it really a gift?
I don't know. I kind of wonder.
Maybe it's about, we have the capacity, I think, for love, and that might be part of it. It's like another realm or another dimension of existence and beingness, feelings, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
So much potential.
Yeah.
And so much potential for messing things up. They're both, right? It's, yeah.
Existential angst.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. And just when you were talking, it was really bringing up for me that your experience was kind of like a childlike wonder. You know, you were reclaiming that childlike wonder, the permission not to know anymore. Like, when we start labeling, it's like we know. Oh, I know. Yeah. And then we shut down, you know. But children don't know yet. They don't have names for these species yet. But yet, it's wonderful.
It actually felt like that. It felt like I was like 5 years old, just discovering things for the first time. Yeah, yeah.
So to me, sky gazing was profoundly supporting in arriving in my ground of being. And I was actually on the ground, so I was pretty groundless, but at the same time, so spacious. And I was so happy when you said that we are welcome as we are. And to me, just being present with that change, this impermanence that is so evident when we are looking at the sky, which when we are actually looking, it doesn't look like it, because it's like, yeah, these clouds are just moving so slowly, but when we are caught up in our thoughts, like after a really short moment, the sky is just completely different, and I'm just like, whoa, where are you? Yeah, and I wanted to share this, that to me it's also profoundly supportive that I've always had these thoughts about myself, that like I am built of some stories or things that happened to me, and they're kind of chasing me every day. Like I was I had an experience of serious abuse when I was a teenager, and I'm 38 right now, and I'm still carrying it, no matter how many therapies and all of that I went through. And so the sky gazing is just so wonderful. It's just like, no, this body is just not that anymore. No, It is not what it was when you were 12. It's just something completely different. It changed a million times by now. And I just need a reminder about that. That this impermanence that everybody is complaining about is actually so wonderful.
Yeah, if we didn't have the impermanence, we wouldn't have the evolution. We wouldn't have the growth. We wouldn't be able to leave the past behind. Sometimes we do need to leave some of the past behind and move beyond that. So thank you, Dreamy, for sharing that.
Would we have awareness if we didn't have impermanence?
Hmm?
Would we have
awareness if we didn't have impermanence? Because I think they go together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's part of the nature of flow, right? Mm-hmm. That there is flow and there is creativity, which means every moment is a birth, every moment is a death.
Mm.
And we wouldn't be aware if there wasn't that arising and ceasing.
Mm.
And yet, these meditation texts talk about awareness as the birthless and as the deathless. So even though there's flow, there are different ways of looking at what flow is. Like if we look at it from a linear perspective, then there is impermanence. If we look at it from a non-linear perspective, it's deathless and liberated primordially. And both things can be true. And the Buddha taught that as two truths, the relative truth and the ultimate truth. Relatively, there's change and karma and cause and effect, and ultimately, there's no time. There's no cause and effect, and there's no death or birth. So it's really interesting to explore that, those questions, right? When we are on this path is explorers. That's how I think of myself, as a consciousness explorer. And recently, maybe you've heard of this, Consciousness Explorers Club. Have you heard of the Consciousness Explorers Club? Not, okay. There is such a thing. And they have a podcast. And they contacted me at some point. And I looked at that name and I thought, that's such a great name. That's what we are. That's what we are in a meditative tradition. We are explorers of consciousness. And there's something about that that is so, I mean, for me, that framing makes practice exciting because then we're not just routine. It's never routine. We're always on pilgrimage. Like when we sit to practice and we don't know what we're going to discover in any one session. Even if you've been practicing for 30 years, even if you've had great experiences, the highs and lows of practice, even if you've had a million insights, you will have a new one, right? When you're holding in the path as never-ending exploration of consciousness. It's just...
How do you...
It's one way to think of what we're doing, yes.
So, I mean, you brought in the word consciousness. So do you feel like awareness is a globalized version of consciousness and consciousness is more localized version?
That's one way to understand it. But these are just words, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I use it synonymously with awareness. So in that case, I was. When I said consciousness explorer, could have said awareness explorer. I think of those as synonymous sometimes, but in some contexts, like in some Buddhist studies context, no, consciousness is very limited and awareness is very expansive, right? That's one way to understand, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sounds familiar to you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the Vijnana and like the Vijnanas and then the... awareness. So what would you say awareness is in Sanskrit? What would you say?
So it's basically the, you know, the Atma.
Yeah.
Atma is kind of...
Yeah, the Atman.
And
yeah,
Paramatma.
Similar. With Brahmatman.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Brahmatman, yes.
Or Paramatma.
Yes,
or
yes,
so it is like...
Idea.
The mm-hmm. Atma is like a localized... Mm-hmm. And then Paramatma or Brahmatma
yes.
is like, you know, so
it's
something
vast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, we're at dinner. So, but Jim has one. Yes, okay, Jim. Yes, and then we will.
So, you talked earlier about sexuality being on a continuum. Remember that? You talked about sexuality.
Oh, yeah. Gender.
Continuum.
Gender.
Gender. Okay,
yes.
Fine.
Uh-huh.
That's, you can help me. You're more skillful with words. Okay, so free will in the animal kingdom. I mean, there are all these animals. They all make decisions all the time. Sometimes their communities destroy environments. Sometimes they rebuild the environment. You know, there are all these things that we as humans claim complete sovereignty of. That's really not the case. You know, it is more complex. And I think somehow this feel that we claim this sovereignty, that we've got this special stuff that's different from all the animals, is something that allows a lot of harm to happen to the natural world. So that's just the statement, so.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Yeah, I think, I watched this documentary recently called Chimp Empire. It's really interesting if you're interested in like nature documentaries. I love nature documentaries. And it's about the social hierarchies in chimp communities, right? Chimps are a close ancestor of ours.
Yeah.
And this is just an example of what you're saying. And, you know, we may think we have, maybe we're the only mammal that has certain behaviors. But no, it turns out, like watching that movie, the society of chimpanzees in some ways mirrors our own, but it's also different. And it's different in certain ways that are, it almost like it's our society, but unmasked for like all the behaviors we have that are hormonally driven, all the behaviors that we have that are driven by survival instinct, right? And in this documentary, it sort of pulls away the masks of, okay, this is how the chimps are behaving. And you can see our society in their society. And it makes me ask myself, how much are we really in control? I mean, some were in control, but some were not in control, right? The nature in us, the wild in us, is pretty powerful. It's pretty present. And we don't admit it. We rationalize it, but it's there. Right? It's there.
As someone who has worked with primates a lot, they are very primate, a little different than us, but they're kind of us without any morality, without any religion or morality.
Well, actually, one of the messages that they had in that is there's empathy, a lot of it, right, in the primate kingdom. But yeah, there is maybe it's yes, it's not as many rules, not as many rules, right?
You're good or you're bad.
Right.
Or, and I, that was a great time.
Yeah. interesting. It's an interesting documentary.
Animals have feelings.
Yes.
Luna gets too far away from the woods, and she suddenly feels, and she comes racing down.
Yeah. Oh, I can tell you, she's full of feels. She's got lots of feels. Yes, she does. It's so amazing. Yeah. Feel that. My octopus teacher. All right, everyone. We want to make sure we get our good break because we need the rest. It's been intense. I don't know if about you, but oh, yes. I hope we sleep well tonight. We'll see you at 7. Oh, before I forget, if there's anyone who's driving to Boston, one of our Kara, my beloved assistant, needs a ride. Yeah? Okay, thank you. I'll let her know. That's great. She could really use it. All right, everyone. See you at 7. Remember your poems. Bring your poems and songs.
Oh, can be prose too. It's
oh yes, prose, poems, creative impulse, dances. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.